Father, we thank you right now for your presence here. We thank you that you are here. We thank you that you speak through people, Lord, and that you have chosen to reveal yourself through, Lord, the spoken word and the written word. And we thank you, Lord, for tonight's word again. Thank you that it's not just another sermon, Lord. Lord, I commit myself to you, Lord, my thoughts right now. Thank you for my mouth, Lord, the meditations of my heart and the thoughts of my heart, Lord, and the what comes out of my mouth, that it will truly be pleasing unto you, Father. And I pray that you would, Lord, whatever is not of you, God, that it would fall on dead ground, Lord. But what is of you, Lord, your perfect word would truly bear fruit in every life this evening, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for hearts to be open. Lord, minds to conceive what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Thank you for good soil this evening. Lord, in all of us, we declare our hearts to be good soil, to hear your word this evening, not only to be hearers, Lord, but truly to be doers of your word this evening. We bless you, Lord. We thank you for your faithfulness in our lives, in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen. Tonight I want to talk to us a little bit about something that's very dear to each one of us. Something that without that in our lives, we'd not be here. We'd be dead. It's something that's pumping blood through your veins right now. It's something that's actually keeping you alive. And if you just put your hand here on the left side, you'll feel it beating. You know, if it wasn't for that, you wouldn't be able to sit. You'd be lying like a corpse dead. So I'm talking here tonight about our hearts. I really want to speak about our hearts tonight. And, you know, God wants to get at our hearts. Amen. God wants to really touch the depths of our hearts this evening. And he always wants to do it, but specifically I want to really trust the Lord to really get to your heart this evening. Because so many times as a church we can do a lot of things and, you know, the worship is great and the music's great. There's lots happening on the outside. You know, and we jump up and down and we're very excited and we're going on missions and it's exciting. But you know, what is happening on the inside of your heart this evening? And that's what I trust the Lord to get at this evening. So I trust that you'll open your heart to really hear what the Lord is saying. You know, my son Matthew at the moment, he's at that stage of imagining. You know, imagine this, imagine that. He's like, you know, it's incredible. And there's not always good stuff. It's like weird stuff, monsters and all these things. And imagine if this happens. And it's like amazing that the heart of a child to imagine. And this evening, I want to just play a little bit of an imagine game with you. I want you to imagine right now if you could see God. Imagine if you could see God in his fullness. What would happen? Wouldn't that be amazing if you could see God? And obviously at the moment in our lives, we don't see God perfectly. We can't see God perfectly in his fullness. Paul says that, you know, we see in a mirror dimly, but one day we'll see face to face. One day we'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye. In the click of a finger, we'll be changed and we'll become like Jesus. But imagine just for a moment that you could see God. You would be glorified. But the Bible does say in Matthew 5 verse 8 that some people can see God. It says that we can actually see God. It says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they can see God. They shall see God. I don't know, if I read into Scripture, you know, I like to take Scripture like it is. You know, it says there that those who are pure in heart, they are blessed. And what's even more blessed is they can actually see God. Isn't that amazing? And obviously now it means that if you're not pure in heart, then you know, you won't really see God. And now, for me, that is simply a degree. I believe it's a degree of how you can see God. I believe we all, as Christians, we see God to a certain degree, and obviously none of us are perfect, so we don't see God fully. But for me, that scripture says that if you're pure in heart, you can see God quite clearly. But if you're not pure in heart, you won't really be able to see God. And you see, when we have a pure heart, we see God, and you know what happens? Everything else falls into perspective. Life just makes sense as a Christian. Nothing else matters when we see God. But you see, when we don't see God, then that abundant life leaves us and we start to stress about things that we don't need to stress about. We start to, you know, life doesn't make sense anymore. Chaos sets in as a Christian. I'm talking about a believer. If you're an unbeliever, then, you know, this doesn't make sense to you. Talking to believers here this evening. But I trust that if you don't believe this evening, that after this you will believe, because when you see God, everything changes. life truly makes sense. And I don't think for most unbelievers out there, I don't think life really makes sense. Because life is designed to be with God. We're designed to worship God. We've been created to know God. But as Christians, we've been created to see God all the time, to experience Him. Amen. And so tonight I trust that we'll look into our hearts, because maybe we cannot see God so clearly tonight. Maybe there's lots of stuff in our lives. Maybe there's not order in your life because you've lost sight of God. But tonight I trust that God will restore to you that heart. I want to ask you another question. What does God see when He sees you? Does He see the outside stuff? Does He see all the clothes you wear, your nice hairstyle, your makeup, your six-pack and all the stuff, you know? All the hours of gym that you've put in. How does God see you? Imagine if we had to put a video clip up of everything that God sees inside of you. It would be quite scary for some of us. Luckily, God doesn't expose us like that. But God does want to touch each one of our hearts. When David was anointed king, you know, all his brothers came past. And the first brother that came past, everyone thought, this must be the next king. This is the anointed. He looks so good. He's handsome. He's tall. He's like the perfect king. It looks a bit like Saul, you know. This looks like the king. And then the Lord said, no. And all of them passed through and they said, there's still one. I want you to get him because he's the one. And he doesn't look so good on the outside. He's maybe a bit short and he looks a bit funny and he's too young and all this stuff. But God said in his word that I don't look like how man looks. The Bible says that God looks at the heart. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. So I want to ask you this evening, what is God seeing inside of your heart? Because so many times we hide our hearts, amen? So many times everything looks so good on the outside, but inside there's chaos. But so many times we put up a front because we're Christians and we belong to shofar and we Don't expose my heart, God. As long as I look good on the outside. God sees through all of that. God sees into the depths of your heart because He doesn't look at the outward appearance. But how many times do we judge people on the outward appearance? Tonight God said He's looking at your heart. He's looking into your heart. Proverbs 4:23. And this, we love to use the scripture at relationship weeks, eh? Like whenever there's a relationship month or week, then we love to use the scripture. You know, guard your heart above all else. For it is the source of life. New Living Translation says, guard your heart, for it determines the course of your life. And it's not only in relationship weeks. You know, we're not only supposed to guard our heart when it comes to, you know, opposites and the attraction and all that. And is this my wife or my husband or, you know, let's go. This is talking in general about life. Guarding your heart against anything and above anything else. You're supposed to look after your heart. Treasure your heart. Nurture your heart. Amen? Because life is in your heart. And the evil one knows exactly where to trip us up. He doesn't trip us up in our failures and in the things we do. That could be a fruit of that. He trips us up inside our hearts. He trips us up by bringing defilement into our hearts. Bringing impurity. And many times we hide it from God. And we try to hide it from other people and we even hide it from ourselves. No, everything's going fine. But what is inside of your heart this evening? Are you God? Is your heart guarded above all else? For there's life in your heart. Ever heard of the saying that if you get at the heart of something, then you've got at that thing? Let's get to the heart of the matter, you know? And the evil one wants to get at your heart because when he's got your heart, he's got you. But the good news tonight is when Jesus has got your heart, he's also got you. And he's overcome any evil and he's overcome all evil in your heart and in your life. Amen. So it's scary to think that life springs forth from your heart. It's like a mother in a home. You know, when a mother is not in a home, you know, the atmosphere has left that home. A mother is like the heart of a home, isn't it so? So those of you who grew up without moms, if there are any, you will know that, you know, something's missing there. And obviously a dad is also important to go, but a mother is many times the heart of a home. And it's the same with your heart. Your heart is the heart of you. It's the heart of your life. It determines where you're going. And so I want to look tonight at how do you know when your heart is defiled? Because we have to be honest. We've got to look at our hearts and say, God, what is this condition of my heart tonight? That's all I want out of the sermon. I trust that you would be honest with your heart tonight. honest with God about the situation in your heart, the condition in your heart. Because I believe God wants us guys to see Him. God wants us to experience Him, but you know, if we don't have a pure heart, we're not blessed. We can't see God clearly. But if we have a pure heart, we're going to change the world. Amen? If we have a pure heart, we're going to be blessed. Who wants to be blessed here tonight? The only way you're going to be blessed is not by doing stuff, serving more, or committing more to missions, or, you know, the kingdom must come and we do more stuff. That'll flow out of a pure heart. If we're not doing things out of a pure heart, we're missing the heart of God. So I want to look tonight at someone who really was an example of an honest man. We talked about him earlier, the heart of David. How do you know when your heart is defiled? And David was at a place in his life in Psalm 51 where he had done a lot of bad things. His lust problem had led him to kill someone. And so he was at a massive crossroads in his life. He was at a deep, dark place. And he writes the Psalm, Psalm 51. He says the following. He says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." And now, you know, when we read the scripture with religious eyes, you know, we read it like in a very nice tone of voice. You know, "O Lord, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew just such a right spirit within me, God." But he was not talking like that. He was probably having tears in his eyes. He was probably having a heart that was weeping and sobbing before God because of the sin that he had committed. He was honest before God. He wasn't just saying a nice prayer or saying a nice ritual. And so he's crying out to God. He says, "God, create in me a clean heart. Renew a steadfast spirit within me, Lord." And then he goes on to say, "Do not cast me away from your presence and do not take your Holy Spirit from me." If you read this again, you realize that he's at a desperate place in his life. "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit, O God. Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners shall be converted to you." Then again he goes into the O God. He says, "Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation. My tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness." Just a couple of things that the Lord showed me out of the scripture. How do we know when our heart is defiled, when we don't have a pure heart? And there's lots of things we can look at. But tonight, I believe the Lord just wants to highlight a couple of things here tonight. And I want you to really search your heart this evening as we're going through these things. The first thing is found when David says that, "Lord, I cannot afford that your presence doesn't go with me. I cannot afford your spirit not to be with me." He says, "Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your spirit from me." Psalm 24 says the following, "Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully." You see, a defiled heart resists the presence of God. Never forget when Hester and I first got married, our first year of marriage was quite rough because we met and within 11 months we got married. So we didn't really get to know each other very well in the courting and dating and engagement phase. We really got to know each other well when we were married. And that's sometimes a good thing. It can be challenging, okay? So sometimes it's good to get to know someone a bit better before, but, you know, some of us, when we're 30 years old and we get married, you know, you want to do it quickly. Eh? You don't want to wait another few years, okay? But anyway, so we got married, and in that first year, we used to at times have arguments at night. Now, Hester's an evening person, and she's a morning person. I'm an evening person, so I can talk at night, and she just wants to go to sleep at night, okay? So, like, talking late at night, just, like, that's the worst for her, okay? But now we're arguing, and we're fighting, and we're disagreeing, and so now I just want to talk things out. She just wants to go to sleep, and that irritates me because I want to sort the problem out now, okay? And so we used to sometimes get so, you know, we had to get to a place where we had to just say, "We've got to stop now because she's tired, so she can't focus. I'm losing it because I just want to sort this thing out." And the Lord just said to me, and then we'd go to sleep. And so I almost didn't want to sleep, you know, in the same bed. I thought, "No, man, you know, I must sleep in the same bed with her, and I can't sleep on the couch now." But I'm so upset, and the Lord just starts to say to me, but you must start to pray now. You must come into my presence. You must do whatever you can do to get into my presence because you're going to lose it." And everything in me just said, "No, I'm not going to pray now. I want to sort this out in my own strength. I'm just going to sleep cross and hopefully in the morning we'll carry on with the fight," kind of thing, you know. But I realized in my life I'm resisting the presence of God because there's a hardness of my heart. There's a frustration. There's an irritation. I'm so upset with her, and I'm actually upset with myself because I can't believe I reacted like that. You know, because when you get married, you think, hey, man, you know, I'm so holy. I'm a perfect husband now, and I'm going to be a blessing to this wife of mine. And, you know, you're all spiritual, and you're serving in church, and you're a leader, and you get into marriage, and it's like, hello, you're not so holy. You're not so cool like you thought you were. So then you're irritated with your own heart and everything. And so I was challenged at the time. And I realized that there's so much defilement in my heart. Because I'm resisting the presence of God. And how many of us, you know, how many of us resist the presence of God many times because our hearts aren't pure? How many times when, you know, we come into church, the praise and worship is just, let's just get on with this thing because this is not so cool. I struggle to engage here because I don't know. I don't know why I'm resisting it. I want to say tonight, maybe it's because there's a bit of an impurity in your heart. There's a bit of defilement. So the presence of God irritates you. You know, people who are so excited and filled with the presence of God, it's like irritates you, you know. Anyone had that experience before? Many times there could be an impurity, a defilement in your heart. Because the Lord says He wants a pure heart. The second one, Psalm 32. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous. Shout for joy, all you upright in heart. You see, David realized, and he said, Lord, there's something in my heart. I need you to restore to me the joy of my salvation. A defiled heart doesn't have joy. You can have a lot of happiness, but you're not walking in the fullness of joy. Amen. And I want to say a measurement, if there's a joy meter, you know, where's your joy right now? Is your joy on 8 out of 10 or 10 out of 10? Or is your joy maybe 1 or 2 out of 10? Only you will know. But joy doesn't come from happiness. Joy doesn't come from all the stuff that's happening in your life, all the events that you're going to, all the excitement, you know, because that's happiness. And happiness makes us happy. But what happens when circumstances change? Then we're suddenly not happy anymore. Joy is not the same as happiness. Joy comes from the inner being, the inner peace, the inner heart. And I believe the Lord said to me, the joy comes from this thing called the pure heart. If we have a pure heart, we will have joy. Amen. But where is your joy this evening? And that's a good gauge of whether there is a pure heart in you or not. At the moment. And I'm talking about right now. I'm not talking about a month ago or what's going to happen in 2 months. I'm talking about where is your heart right now? Where's your level of joy? Because that's a good measure of how pure your heart is. Level of joy. And David said, Lord, I need this joy. I need the joy of my salvation. And that's why many times for all of us, and for me especially, we can so easily lose sight of the positive. We can lose sight of what God is doing because things aren't happening in our lives. But that means that we're just running from happening to happening. And this nation is going down, so we lose our joy. Because there's load shedding and all sorts of things, and it's frustrating and irritating, and we're so walking by circumstances and not by the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. So where are you tonight in terms of your joy? And then thirdly, Matthew 15 says, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. See, David understood that when God creates in him a clean heart, you know what's going to happen? He's going to start to proclaim the good news and start to confess where sinners will turn. He says sinners will come to repentance. Sinners will be converted when I start to confess and proclaim your good news. But many times the confession of our mouth isn't always good news. It isn't always hope. It isn't always faith. It isn't always the fruit of the Spirit. Many times we complain. We're negative towards people. The confession of our mouth causes us to even go to a place where we murder in our hearts, and that's hate. It's simply a hatred. The New Testament, Jesus set a higher standard of murder. He said, if you hate your brother, it's like murder. Adultery is not sleeping with another woman, it's looking at another woman with lust. You're not married to her. That's the new level of adultery and all these things. And many times it starts with a thought that comes from a heart that's not pure. But a good measure of our purity is our confession. Amen. So what is coming out of your mouth currently? Is it negativity? Is it complaining? Is it, oh, exams are so tough, and oh, I'm stressed, and Is your heart really then pure before God? There's good news tonight. God wants to restore to you a pure heart again. Amen? Because it's not what we eat. It's not what we put into our bodies. The Bible says what comes out of our mouth, that defiles us. Because where it comes from, a place of a defiled heart. I remember once a friend of mine, we were like waiting for the minister, like to go into the ministry. We were excited. We used to joke, you know, wanna kom die rooi telefoon oproep. Now, when's that red telephone going to ring? You know, where God's going to say, you know, go. Like, we're so excited about the ministry and everything and joking about it and all that. And then I heard this friend of mine, like, he's like going to preach in Stellenbosch, you know, in the main church. He's like, he's got an opportunity to preach there. And I'm like, suddenly something changes in my heart. And I'm like, what? Where's my opportunity? Why is he getting this opportunity and not me? The Lord just had to really clap me and say, but what are you? Are you celebrating him? Are you jealous of him? Are you envious of him? What's going on in your heart? And it's not like I'm confessing it to him or anyone else, but in my inside, I'm confessing it to God, and I'm like, stuff comes out of my heart, and I just realized I'm so defiled here. I can't celebrate someone else's breakthrough. Just confessing, like, oh, my own negativity and my own failure and my own frustrations and fears comes from jealousy or envy. It starts in the heart. It's not necessarily a loud confession, but many times it comes out of a confession. You know, David's major problem, the murder that he caused wasn't because he wanted to murder someone. It started with his lust problem, which is my last point. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, flee youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Flee youthful lusts. We've got to run, walk away. Amen. Look away, switch off, turn around. Not look once and then just look a little bit again and then we go on. You know, campus in the summer, guys? Look a little, just look again. Whoa, okay, whoa, then I'll look. No, when you see, look away. In Stellenbosch, they used to joke, you know, there's lots of mountains there. So, like, CS used to say it, like, you know, don't look at the mountains in front of you. Look at the mountains up there and worship them, you know, because sometimes we see mountains popping out everywhere, you know. So, kijk op naar die bergen, you know, look up to the mountains. There your help will come from the Lord. Look up. Not those mountains, up there, you know. Yeah, we've got copies here, so just look at Naval Hill, I don't know. Look at the Lord. But flee youthful lusts, guys. Amen? I'm talking to some people here tonight. Why? Because it defiles your heart. David's murder started because of his lust. The lust in his heart caused him to murder someone, and he was just in a cycle of sin, and he gets to this place where he's got to really repent before God. I loved what happened at the men's camp. Some of us were there, and we were really able to confess seriously and just repent of our own stuff in our lives. It was so wonderful to be honest with the Lord. But we were challenged on that. And I remember, and you know, it's said a couple of times, but the first time I heard this, that when your heart is defiled and when you give in to temptation and to lust, it steals your, and the bondage in your life. I'm not talking about just falling. When we fall, we confess again and we're not perfect, so we'll make mistakes, but just get out of the cycle. But when you start in that cycle and that cycle keeps going in your life, then you know what? It steals your authority. It steals the anointing on your life. Because eventually you'll be so ashamed to run to God. So lust is a serious thing, but I'm not only talking about the lust of the flesh. I'm talking about any lust. And the ladies, you've got your challenges as well. Flee youthful lusts. Why? Because there's an authority that God wants to give us. There's an anointing that we have to cherish. There's a purity of heart God wants us to treasure and to guard. Amen? In our lives. And David realized that. David said, listen here, Lord, deliver me, please, of the guilt of bloodshed. The condemnation that came from just the cycle of sin in my life, this impurity of heart. So I don't know where you are this evening. If there's guilt and condemnation over your life, that could mean that there's still an impurity of heart. Because we cannot pursue God fully. And God wants to deliver us from all of these things. He wants to deliver us of guilt and condemnation. He wants to deliver us of just that negative cycle, lack of joy. He wants to deliver us of confessing negativity and confessing death instead of life. And he wants to bring us into that place where we love His presence, where we don't resist His presence. So these are just a few things that the Lord showed me out of the scripture, which He wants to highlight in our lives as a measure of where we are in terms of a pure heart. Imagine if it was different. Imagine if your heart remained pure most of the time. What would the world look like? I think it would look something like this. 1 Peter 1. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. I believe if we can get this thing right, if we can remain at a place of a pure heart, an undefiled heart before the Lord, you know what will happen? We'll be able to love fervently and unconditionally. Amen. We'd be able to love the brothers. We'd be able to love the world without fear. Because how many times do we try to love, but we're always skeptical? Because what happens if someone hurts us or rejects us? Or what happens if we fail in our love for the world and in doing good? Jesus went about doing lots of good. But he did it out of a pure heart. He didn't do it with any motives. He did it simply to love people because people mattered. People were special to him and he wanted them to know him. But many times we can't love fully because our hearts aren't pure. So there's always motives, or we're skeptical, or we're fearful. Or, you know, what happens if people reject our love? Even in church, I'm talking about, let's start here, amongst each other. Amen. If we can love each other, you know, the world will see that we're his disciples. The world will want to be part of this. But how many times do we get hurt because we've stepped out in love out of a place of an impure heart? Then we haven't really loved fully and loved purely. And you know, when perfect love comes, fear goes. Amen. The perfect love of the Father, when it's in our hearts, you know, all fear leaves our hearts. And you know what? We can stand in the gap and fear can leave others' hearts. Because we can love people to death. Okay, so they can die of all their stuff and have life. Amen. That's what God loves us to death, you know, that the old self dies and the new life comes. His goodness and kindness leads us to repentance, leads us to die to ourselves, love for the world. And that's why I believe, you know, God is bringing us as a church to the place where he's gathering us together as an army to love the world and to step out and to go on missions with an absolute faith. Absolute love for people. No fear. Not doing it out of trying to please God or trying to, you know, we do so many good works to try to please people or please God. God says, I want you to do it because of my love. Amen. But many times we don't have a pure heart. And so whenever challenges come, we get offended because there's that little bit of defilement that the devil just, you know, it's like when a dog poos on the ground, then what comes? The flies come. To that mess. And it's like the mess in our hearts. I know it's like a terrible equation. I mean, but yeah, it's like the devil loves little defilements in our hearts. And he just comes and you know what? He just makes it grow unless we say, Jesus, here is my heart. Here is my defiled heart. But the devil loves to just use any little bit of hurt in our hearts, any bit of offense, any bit of stuff that's there. He just comes and he makes it grow. But Jesus, tonight I believe he's going to save us from that. He's going to change us. See, when we have a pure heart, we'll be blessed. And you know what? We'll see God. And it's an incredible cycle. It's a cycle of blessing. Because you know what? The more we see God, the more we have a pure heart. Isn't that so? And the more we have a pure heart, the more we see God. And so it just increases. But the opposite is also true. The more we have an impure heart, the less we see God. And the less we see God, the more we'll have an impure heart and a defiled heart. It's all about meeting Jesus face to face in our lives, personally. I know I'm speaking to some hearts here this evening. Before I end off with my last scripture, just to tell you a story about what happened on Thursday night. There's this new church that's starting here in Bloemfontein called Gateway Fellowship. They're a new covenant church. And they, a couple of them, you know, we know each other. And so this, the leader of the church, he said, listen, yeah, we really want to pray for you and Hester. You guys must come to our prayer meeting on Thursday evening from 6 to 7. We want to pray for you and pray for Shofar. We want to take hands and just partner because we know God is doing awesome things in the city and you know, we love what you're doing. And it was so humbling, and you know, I thought, oh, let's just go to this prayer meeting and you know, just enjoy it and let's get it over with. It's nice and we'll be blessed, but you know, that's fine. But we get there and it's so humbling. We start and they don't have a worship, sort of, they worship from CDs and from PowerPoint, so they don't have a worship leader yet. And We just go into a time of worship and then they start to pray and to intercede and prophesy over us and over Shofar, and we stand in the middle, Esther and I. And it was so humbling, the words that they started to give us and the prophecies that came out, so in line with what God has been saying, but a lot of stuff was also new for us personally and just for us as a church. And I was just so encouraged, and the Lord showed me a picture, and I said to them, I feel the Lord is giving you guys a word as well. That there's a purity of heart here. There's a heart here that you must treasure in this church. And God loves it. God is excited about it. And then I was just reminded of why I came to this church, why I came to Shofar in the first place. Because that same purity of heart was what drew me to Shofar in Stellenbosch back in the day. There was this heart after God that was pure and that was honest and repentant and undefiled. And the Lord just reminded me that is exactly what He wants to do in our church and to continue to do it, to restore that, but to maintain it, that we don't get to a place where our hearts become undefiled. God wants to restore to us a pure heart. I really believe it at this time because He's raising up an army. Like in Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2, it talks about, I haven't put it up there, but it talks about rending your heart and not your garments. And the whole chapter, I read the whole chapter when Lord took me to that verse. You know, God says He wants our hearts. He doesn't want all the stuff we do. He doesn't want the outward stuff. He wants our hearts. And I read the whole chapter and I found, it was the chapter of the prophecy where the Spirit in the end time will be poured out. But it also talked about this army that God is raising up. That are going to be focused. They're not going to break rank. They're going to know exactly where they're going. They're just going to stay in tune with the Spirit. And then I'm going to pour out my Spirit when hearts are rendered to the Lord. When hearts are broken and open and honest before God. Then He's going to pour out His Spirit. And people will see dreams and visions. And there will be an incredible move of God. So I believe this thing of a pure heart is so important to God. Because God wants to move within us. He wants to do something special. But you know what? We're not going to really see God if our hearts aren't pure before Him. We're not going to see and we're going to miss Him. He's going to do something and we're going to miss it. So I believe God is doing it in our midst. He's already started to do it. And I know if He's doing it in that church, you know, He's going to do it, yeah. But God wants to restore to us a purity of heart. Last scripture, and this is the scripture that we have to respond to. Because James says it so straight and you know, sometimes we want to just tear out the book of James because it's just too straight down the line, you know, black and white and, you know, it's too heavy sometimes. But it's just this place of really being honest before God, which is what I want us to do this evening. I want us to really be honest with the Lord as to where our hearts are at. It says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Scripture that we love to quote. But have you read the next one? It says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. No, we'd rather take that piece out, you know. Oh, Lord, that's too heavy now. Don't call me a sinner, God, please. James, how can you call me a sinner, man? I'm saved. I gave my life to Jesus. What, there's grace now. Don't call me a sinner. No, it says if your heart isn't pure, if you're double-minded, you need to repent. And then he goes on. It's like, as if that's not bad enough, he says, lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Whoa, we're getting heavy here now. The Lord's just calling us to that place of repentance. It says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and He will lift you up. God is going to lift us up tonight. Amen. God is going to restore a purity of heart. But sometimes it's going to come through tears. Sometimes it's going to come through mourning. And we're not going to feel joyful now in the presence of God. Because He's getting at the place which the devil has held too long now. I don't know where your heart is this evening. I don't know what impurities there are there, what defilement, but I've mentioned a few things that can help you just to see, God, where is my heart at this evening? Where is my heart really at this evening? Because so much stuff is happening on the outside and people think I'm this anointed, awesome person. But then God says, no, I want to get at your heart. Because the more you put the stuff up on the outside, the less you're going to allow me into your heart. Because you're just doing more stuff for me and you're looking good And there's nothing wrong with that. We must do stuff for God. But if it's not coming from a heart of purity, a heart of honesty, a heart of love, where we can love fervently, then you know what? It's going to last so long and we'll crash and burn. But I believe tonight there's good news for us. Jesus Christ died on the cross. Amen. Jesus Christ, a perfect, perfect person, died on the cross. A pure hearted man, no sin, no shame, no spot or wrinkle in his heart. He came to die and to make that exchange. But he can give us new hearts. Amen. And so some of us have to be honest with where our hearts are at this evening. So I want us to pray right now and to close our eyes and to really be honest, because guys, this is a time of honesty. And God has been talking to me about this. He's been challenging me to come before the Lord honestly and openly. Say, God, deal with the stuff in my heart. You know, because as a pastor, one can get frustrated with people. We can get irritated. And the Lord just exposing some stuff in my heart as well. But we have to be honest and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Sorry that I've allowed impurity. I'm sorry, Lord, because I miss you. I don't see you when my heart is defiled. But this evening, Jesus is going to come and touch your heart. Father, I just want to thank you for your incredible love for us, Lord. I want to thank you that you want to come and draw us into that place where David was, Lord, where he was really honest before you. Lord, where he realized, Lord, that his joy was lost. He realized, Lord, he was resisting your presence many times because he couldn't stand in your presence, Lord. He was worried that you would take your presence from him. That's what he felt. Lord, it wasn't as if you took your presence away, Lord. It was as if there was something in him that was just resisting your presence and your spirit. Lord, he realized the confession of his mouth was not good. And he realized, Lord, he was full of guilt and condemnation, Lord. Lord, some of us tonight, we have to be honest with ourselves, Lord. There's guilt over us. There's condemnation. There's shame. There's fear, Lord. There's even the problem of lust, Lord. Hanging over us so heavy, God. It's been in the secret for so long, Lord. But tonight, Lord, you want to come. Wipe away that impurity, Lord. Come and deliver us of the impurities. Lord, there's... some people are confessing, Lord, just such negative stuff. Even about the nation, Lord. About even this church sometimes, Lord. Some of us are just confessing, Lord, death. And we've given up hope, Lord. Even in our studies, God, in what we're doing, what we're called to do, some of us, Lord, have just lost our joy. The simplicity of the joy of our salvation, knowing you, Jesus. Nothing else matters, Lord. Not circumstances, not successes or failures will determine our joy. But Lord, as young people tonight, we come before you, God. We realize we need to grow up and to see you, Jesus. I pray that you'd open our eyes this evening, Lord, as we purify our hearts before you. Lord, you say that blessed are those who are pure in heart. Blessed. We want to be blessed tonight. But Lord, we realize we cannot see you because our hearts are still defiled. Thank you, Jesus, that you came to die for each one of us. Thank you for the good news of the gospel. Lord, tonight we respond to that good news. We respond to your drawing.